Today on Real Radio.
There's no church, there's no system, there's no rules, there's no hierarchy, there's no pastor, priest, or pope that can get you into the kingdom of heaven but Jesus. No one. It's Him alone. One mediator between man and between God, and that is the man Christ Jesus.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on what we often call the essentials of the faith. Last week, we began a series within a series called You Need to Know, all about the gospel truth. Of course, the words gospel truth is a common phrase that a lot of folks use, but we're talking about the real gospel truth as found in the pages of God's written word, the Bible. Here's pastor and Bible teacher now, Jack Hibbs, with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know, all about the gospel truth.
Ephesians chapter 2, park right there for a moment, and in this series, we have decided to bring to you, because of the times in which we live in, a doctrinal series, doctrine. You might say, Pastor, isn't that something that should be reserved for Bible college or some seminary? Nope. In fact, seminaries and Bible colleges would do well if they gravitated back to doctrine. Doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is the very sophisticated word for the more common word that you and I know, teaching. What are the teachings of the Bible? What does the Bible teach? And what are doctrines? The doctrines are things that you need to know, number one, to be a believer. This is so critical. The Bible lays out its plan. And predominantly, as we're talking about in this now third part of our series, as we consider the gospel, what is it and all, that the Bible lays out exactly what you must believe to be saved. Now, that's a foreign statement these days, tragically. Some people think if they were born in America, they're saved. Some people think that if they're a Republican or a Democrat or an Independent, they're saved. Some people think that if they vote, they're saved. Some people think if they go to church, they're saved. Some people think if they own a Bible or even if they read the Bible. Some people think if they have a biblical degree of some sorts, they're saved. That's not true. You say, of course not, Pastor. You have to be born into a family that's saved. That's false. Well, my grandpa was saved, my grandma, my mom and dad were saved. That's great for them. They'll be in heaven, but what about you? I like what Harry Ironside said in yesteryear. He said, God has no grandchildren. Isn't that a great word? You're either a child of the living God or you're not. And you don't get that by acquisition. You don't get that by proximity. You don't get that by association. You get that by coming to a personal knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said it himself in Matthew chapter 7. To those who were religious but didn't know him, Jesus said, even though they'll stand before me in the day of judgment, having done miracles, in my name, he said, I will turn to them and say, I never knew you. So the great question as we look to the gospel and as we look to doctrine is, do you know God? I should say, has your study of the Bible caused you to understand that God knows you? Will Jesus Christ stand up in that day when you appear before God and he will say, I know you? Can you imagine? And that shouldn't surprise us. You've heard me say this before, but it's not so much what you know. You got it. It's who you know. That's how you got that job you have, I bet. You knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. Listen, that really truly works in eternity. Do you know Jesus? And to know Jesus is to know the gospel. And the Bible warns us that there are many false gospels out there in the world. And there are many false Christs. Every religion under the sun has got their definition of Jesus. Did you know that? You better know which Jesus you believe in. Is he the biblical Jesus? Because why? He brought to us the biblical gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, church, verse 7. Look at verse 7 to verse 9. the gospel, that in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace, you ought to circle the word grace, in his kindness, circle the word kindness, towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For us who have read the Bible and have examined its record and its claims and the message of the Bible, I would trust that you agree with me that it is impossible to say that there's this one particular revelation or this one chapter of the Bible or this one verse of the Bible that is the most important or above all others. But this we can say with absolute certainty, that the most important doctrine in its single manifestation in Scripture is the doctrine of salvation. What good is you knowing the Bible if you don't have salvation? And from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible reveals this overriding theme. If you had to stamp on your Bible maybe a mark or a logo or something other than the Holy Bible, it would be the Book of Salvation. From Genesis to Revelation, it is about mankind's salvation. Does that include Bible prophecy? Yes. Does it include sanctification? Of course, yes. Does it include history? Yes. Does it include God's covenant promises? Yes. But all in the context of the overriding doctrine of the Bible is salvation. And salvation is brought to us by the very gospel of God. And for this reason, Jesus said himself, for salvation, he says, this is why he came into the world. That's why he's come. So it's very exciting. And you're note-taking as we get into this. Mark it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said to the Corinthians there in Greece, he said, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech. Man, do we need to be reminded of this today. In other words, I didn't come in my religious or Christian ministry to wow you with speech or with the wisdom, that is the wisdom of this world, declaring to you the testimony of God. I didn't come with a... Imagine today. Paul needs this. We need to hear this today. Paul says, I didn't show up in Greece and put on this amazing show of verbal persuasiveness. Well, that flies in the face of modern-day Christianese on TV and what's cool. Paul says, I didn't come to you to speak what's cool. And he said, I didn't come to you with the wisdom or logic of the world to try to reach you. So when Paul spoke about hell, for example, or about heaven, when he spoke about heaven, he didn't have angels behind him on a big flat screen trying to get you to understand that heaven's for real. He spoke simply the truth of God and the Holy Spirit, because he was speaking divine truth, pierced the hearts of the hearers. Paul had no PowerPoint. Think of it. He didn't have smoke and flames, and he didn't need it. You want to know why? He had the power of the Holy Spirit behind the message he was delivering. It's the gospel. The gospel does not need us to make it the gospel. Back again in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, he says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him, what? Crucified. Jesus crucified. We'll talk more about this today in our study. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. This is all introduction to our third installment of this series. Galatians 3, 8. There Paul says to the church in Galatia, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that's exactly, by the way, how the Jews were to be justified too, by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, in advance, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Is that a radical statement? The Bible says Abraham heard the gospel through God. God revealed the gospel to Abraham. And what was that message? That message was the just shall live by faith, that you will be justified, put in your faith in me, not in your works. Look, are works good, church? Say yes. Works are great. Works follow those who are Christians. But you can never be saved or go to heaven by your works. It begins with faith in Christ. Christ, once in you, changes your life by the power of the gospel. And what comes out of your life? Works. Works only confirm the fact that you are born again, that you've received the gospel. As wonderful as works are, now they benefit people. We're to do them to honor God. But today, my friend, if you're sitting here right now and you're trusting in your good works to get you into heaven, you're far from the kingdom of heaven. And this is an affront to our intellect. It's an affront to our goodness as we would see it. So in our first study, in our second study last time, we saw this. What is the gospel? Three things. We saw that the gospel is God's message to man. God brought it to us. We didn't invent this. Isn't that fun to know? No cult leader sat down somewhere and hammered it out and then propagated it out to people and said, this is the way it's going to be. No, God came down to man and to bring us the gospel. And we studied that in depth. The second thing we looked at was that the gospel is God's good news for man. I challenge all of you, and if you're listening right now, I challenge you, read the Bible and try to find something better. Read the Bible and try to find a more amazing message. Read the Bible and look what man has offered up versus what God has brought to us. It is a message that God has brought to man, and it's all about man being saved. It's for us. The Bible is all about God wanting us with him in heaven. And then last time we saw this, that the gospel is God's connection by man. And I use that capital M, remembering that we looked at the Bible that says that there's one man. There's one mediator between man and God, and that is the man, capital M, Christ Jesus. There's no church, there's no system, there's no rules, there's no hierarchy. There's no pastor, priest, or pope that can get you into the kingdom of heaven but Jesus. No one. It's him alone. One mediator between man and between God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And so last time we looked at this, mark it down. Point number two was this. Why is the gospel so important? The gospel is so important because its origin is in God himself. It's in him. And now here's where we pick up our study. Why is the gospel so important, church? Because its power is through Christ. The gospel power is because and through and of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Why are we so in love with Jesus? Because listen, he died for us. He rose again from the grave for us. It's all about Jesus. The Bible is all about Jesus. Why is the gospel so important? It's Jesus. What do we know about that? Well, we looked at it a moment ago. Look with me again, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, God is announcing, I'm going to display from eon to eon throughout all eternity. This is what God says. All eternity will host the show that I will display of my exceeding riches, of my love or my grace and of my kindness towards that which is being saved. He, you, her, who's being saved, which is in Christ Jesus. God is saying, throughout all eternity, my grace will be displayed. Oh, that's awesome. And then he reminds us in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, for by grace, that's that wonderful Greek word charis, listen to this, it's by divine influence, the word means unmerited favor, unearnable human favor. It means to be divinely accepted. God does this. You cannot do this. You cannot gin up or gender up or work up or lather up some kind of an act. Listen, everybody, are you listening? Yes. You can't do anything to cause God to grace you with his affection. He does this. The power's through him. That word also means to be benefited by or to be favored by, to be gifted by. We use the word grace. Listen, many times, I'm sure you've had this conversation too with people who come to your door. I'm thinking specifically of our Mormon friends. Nice people. But did you know this? That they call us gracers. Have you ever heard that term? Any of you involved in Mormonism? They've nicknamed us gracers. And you ask them, why do you call us gracers? Oh, you guys are crazy. You guys believe, but you think his grace covers your life, and that his grace by him is behind the work of salvation, and that it's not by any works of yours that justifies you before God. It's by His grace. And I say, guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. What is it that you believe? And this is what they believe in Mormon doctrine. That we are saved by grace through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Stop right there. I agree with all of that. Except their Jesus is different than our Jesus when you study Him. Let me read it in totality from their scriptures. We are saved by grace through the atonement of Jesus Christ after all that we can do. Some of you who are legalists right now, legalistic, you haven't come to the cross. You're here right now, but you haven't come to the cross where you die. Where you come to the cross and there's no more of you left. When you come to that cross and you say, Jesus, I've sinned against you. And God, I come completely broken. I'm absolutely nothing and I need your grace. I need your, listen, remember, it's called a gift, salvation is, people. Gift. How much do you have to pay to get a gift? That's right, it's nothing. The moment you pay for it, it ain't no longer a gift. Absolutely impossible. That what Jesus did on the cross, you could never do by good works or wishful thinking. You can't do it. Jesus went to the cross and died for us because we couldn't. Well, I said, let me define that. Listen, mankind was destined for the cross. And if mankind died on the cross, mankind would be dead. See, we had an appointment with the cross, as it were. Now, we live 2,000 years removed from the cross, but we could substitute that by saying, because of our sin, you and I have an appointment with the gallows or with the lethal injection or electric chair. Are you with me? Spiritually speaking, I'm talking about. The moment you die as a non-believer, you're dead. Oh, you're not just dead physically, you're spiritually dead, which is tragic when you read the Bible. That means you're fully alive, living an eternal death. It never ends in the eternity of hell. Jesus came to set us free. That's why it's good news. J.C. Ryle, the ancient commentator, says, the gospel of God's grace declares that God became a man through the virgin birth, that He, being sinless God and total man, died for our sins, satisfying His own justice by paying our debt to God. He was resurrected the third day, and all who trust in Him are forgiven and their sins and are gifted with eternal life. Salvation is that simple and wonderful. Repentance from sin and acceptance of Christ, it is that simple, and it must be preached that simply. Jesus died in your place. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those of heaven and of those of earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4, 12 goes on to say, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, you might be saying, that is so narrow. And all God's people said, amen. Absolutely. Absolutely narrow. Well, you know, I believe in the broad, open, spaced process. Well, so does God. God says, broad is the way, and many are on that path that leads to eternal destruction. But narrow is the path, and few there be that find it, that leads to eternal life. Jesus is the only way. That's the good news. He died there. And for me to introduce to God, yes, yes, Jesus died, but for me to be saved, I believe in that and then add to His blood all my good works. Do you understand that you and I come to God already tainted? How can you and I have good works when we're tainted to begin with? When God requires perfection? With all your good intentions, it's still tainted. If I had a glass of water right here, if I had a glass of Arrowhead water right out of the mountain, and I put 10 drops of liquid cyanide in that water, it's just as clear as the water, you know, you couldn't even see it. And I stirred it up, would you drink it? Oh, come on, where's your sense of adventure? How about if I put 8 drops, just 8 drops, not 10, but 8? Would you drink it? Yes, I know 1 drop will kill you, but come on, what if only 3 drops in a glass of water? Would you drink it? What if I just put 1 drop in the water? Do you understand that? You say, well, I've kept some of the commandments. You have to understand something. You come to the commandments of God already tainted. God says, I love you, but I can't drink your water. You need new water. You need living water. Amen. You need my son. Amen. This is the gospel. It's power through Jesus Christ. Not your own efforts. Not your own pursuits. The gospel is the power of God. You say, how is the gospel empowered? Good question. Where does the gospel get its power? It gets its power, of course, through Christ. But listen, Jesus Christ has always been Jesus Christ. If you and I were saved just by the existence of Jesus Christ, then I ask you this question. Why did he go to the cross? You see, listen, something had to happen. It's called the atonement. The atonement, where someone dies in your place to pay the bill. How many of you have mortgages on your houses? Let me raise 2 hands here. Not that I have 2 houses. I have a mortgage that if I had to pay it off today, I couldn't do it. Are you in that? Will you raise 2 hands if that's you? Can you pay your mortgage off today? What if somebody stepped in this afternoon and said, hey, I heard that sermon today, and I know that you've got, I saw your 2 hands go up. That means you must, I mean, that must mean that you can't pay your mortgage off today if you had to pay it off today. I'll tell you what, I'll pay it off for you. Is that attractive to you?
Yes.
I'll pay it off for you, and I'll hand you the what's it called? See, I'm so far from paying mine off, I don't even know what it's called. What is it? What is it? The deed, the final? Some of you are saying the app? What? Whatever. I've got proof it's been paid for. Somebody paid it. Jesus did that. Listen, he's eternal God, but he had to come if you and I were going to be saved. He paid the debt. He stepped in and said, Father, I will pay the mortgage on their sin that they'll never be able to pay. I'll pay it. That's why both hands go up. That's why we worship him. Absolutely awesome. The power of the gospel is found in the cross. And that preaching and that teaching of the cross is what brings salvation to every one of our souls. Listen, you're not going to make it to heaven unless you embrace the doctrine of the cross.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by that very title, and it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About the Gospel Truth on the next edition of Real Radio. Remember now, we're still making available the riveting DVD update, Israel from the Golan Heights. Pastor Jack and his good friend Amir discuss today's news, the Iranian threat, America's role and her leaders, Russia sticking their jaw out, the pressure that's being put on Israel, ISIS, and by the way, this was delivered in Israel by Pastor Jack and Amir outdoors, and not too far from ISIS, believe it or not. I've watched it. Couldn't believe what I saw and heard. Now, you might be thinking, wow, the Golan Heights. I don't know anything about that. Don't know where it is. But believe me, you'll figure it out when you listen to Pastor Jack and Amir. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. Update Israel from the Golan Heights. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.